sure all this stuff is going
to be
included.
Ready to
yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Recording.
Yes, I'm the plug. We'll touch base.
That was one of my earlier.
That will be in.
I guess we have
to meet. Mondays are bad days.
If we can record it and we can get it on the website,
we'll give them a little bit of time.
Sure.
The thing is, let's find the wording for the ballot. It said right on what they were voting. This is what this indicates, what Gene's talking about.
Oh, and Kurt still isn't here. Do I have time to make a mad dash to the restroom? Oh, no, there he is.
To me, is apathy.
Well, you know, you
part of the voters.
Okay, all right.
Well, you know, I think Brian Lynch had it.
Right.
His.
Right, I'm looking for it.
Well, I noticed.
Welcome back.
Here it is right here.
Right, but I have
a hard copy. Sweet.
Oh. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. It's the regular assembly meeting for June 6, 2016. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Here.
Bart?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Okay, it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes from the May 16th meeting. Is this not working?
Nope.
Does it just need to be
just
turned
to
up?
Bring it closer to you, Mark.
Oh, well, right in my face. All right, perfect. Okay, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from May 16th.
She'll move.
Second.
Do we need to turn it up?
Maybe it's because my hearing aids are turned up. I could hear it quite well, but we'll just... We'll try that, but I don't want to chew on it. Okay, there's been a motion made and a second. Is there any changes, or are those meeting minutes acceptable? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we're down to today's meeting agenda. I'd like to entertain... Oh, now it's working. I'll entertain a motion for approval of today's meeting agenda.
I so move.
Second.
Any amendments or changes? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, public hearings. We're having another public hearing today on the marijuana ordinance. That's ordinance 2016-06. It's an ordinance adding marijuana regulations to Chapter 6.04, alcoholic beverages and marijuana. And later in the meeting, if you'll look farther on in the agenda, you'll see that we're going to take action on it as an assembly to vote whether it's going to be on the ballot this fall or not. So I know there's some controversy there, but so if you want to include anything about that in your presentation under the public hearing, you could feel free to do so. I see there's quite a few people in the room, so if you want to speak to the marijuana ordinance in this public hearing, just raise your hand and come forward. Let's start the front here, the lady in the red shirt.
Can I do it? Yeah, you.
Either way, try to make it brief if you could. It looks like, how many people were wanting to testify to this or something on the agenda? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. There's about 15 or so. So if we could try to limit it to 3 minutes, that. And it probably won't stay that way, but we'll probably end up eating up an hour, which is fine. That's what we're here for. All right, Marjorie, if you want to.
In May.
You need to come forward.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, come forward to the microphone, state your name, who you represent. Thank you.
I represent me.
Can you state your name, please?
Well, Marge Oinas.
Thank you, Marge.
Okay. In May of this past year, on the 2nd, I went to Anchorage to visit a friend, and she was there to attend the addictions conference that was held for the state of Alaska. And she invited me to come, and so I asked permission to go, and the boss of the conference said, you can go to one session. And I said, well, it's the first, I'll just go to the first one, whatever that is. The first one was, surprisingly, on marijuana. And the fellow that spoke was excellent, and I thought, my goodness, our city is dealing with this issue right now. How fortunate that I could be there. I have pages of notes. I've looked on the internet, as probably all of you have, for pros and cons. And I'm appealing to the council that we have the, that you give us the option to opt out of having commercial, the commercial sale of marijuana. And, but I wanted to be a help in deciding that. They have this, this conference published a DVD that's 26 minutes long, and it is coming out the third week of June. I called them a couple days ago, and I said, our town is discussing this, and they said, I will put your name at the top of the list to get the DVD. It. I wanted to give you a copy. Just take one and pass it out. This is a copy of the advertisement. It is entitled Cannibalized, the Physical and Mental Effects of Marijuana. And I would like to show it to the council. I would like to show it to the police. It's the most up-to-date thoughts on marijuana. And I would like to show it to the whole city, to the churches, to the police department, and just maybe show it at the auditorium, for so that we can all at least, I have no idea what it says. I don't know if it's in agreement with what my position is, but I was very impressed with the speaker, and so I'd like to offer that as something that we could all look at, and just ask that you would consider that, if the council would consider watching it whenever I get it. And so I guess that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Marge. So maybe we'll just start on this side of the room and continue back through the tables. So let's do it that way and keep in order. Excuse me.
Hello. My name is Cindy Lynn. I've lived in Petersburg only 22 years. I'm legally blind, so if someone wishes to ask me a question, if someone can help me with that, I'd sure appreciate it. I was surprised to learn only on Friday about the full marijuana initiative text and the fact that on 17.38.110 on page 6, as far as the opt-out, what that exactly means is a local government may prohibit the operation of marijuana cultivation facilities, marijuana product manufacturing facilities, marijuana testing facilities, or retail marijuana stores. Through the enactment of an ordinance or by a voter initiative. And that would, of course, be called the opt-out initiative, I would think. I've talked to as many people as I could. I personally, in the 60s, of course, in college, I think I had two joints, and that's it for me. So I don't really know anything about it as far as people that use it regularly. If you decide to, if you decide to go along with the concept of marijuana in a retail outlet, I pray and plead with you to please make that only able outside of Area 1, which is the old city limits, which is outside of 8.6 mile. That way, people that do need marijuana for medical reasons or personal reasons, this initiative would in no way stop people from having 1 ounce of marijuana in their home or growing 6 plants, 3 of which are budding. I don't know exactly what that means, but other people would. And I asked, okay, 1 ounce, how much is that? And the person I asked, I don't know. I says, well, how many joints would that be? And he said, about 12. And that helped me have some idea because I'm really not knowledgeable on such things. But if you do decide to skip the opt-out part, please have it out of the town. I am worried on our town's reputation and image. I always thought this is the best community I have ever been in my entire life, and I've traveled a great deal. And I think it will have a negative effect on tourism. Now, some people believe that having outlets in town that tourists would come here to actually buy marijuana, because in Petersburg you can buy it. I don't think that would happen, and I question if they could even take it back, and maybe you could help me with this, to the tour boat legally. Since it's a federal law, marijuana cannot be transported through boats, the post office, or airlines. I don't know if people could buy marijuana and take it aboard a ferry, an Alaska Marine ferry. I think that's about all I wanted to say. I wanted the public to know that this is an 11-page text, this initiative. It's not simple. It's not an easy process. If it is a go and you guys decide to do it, I'm sure you're aware of all the steps that need to be taken. I have no idea. I would think it would take a long time to get this really put together, a testing facility, a cultivation facility, a product facility, and then retail facilities. It's not like all of a sudden someone can say, I've got pot for sale. There's a lot more involved. And for the record, it is available on regulatemarijuanainalaska.org. And then it has 2 slashes and says full initiative text. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Cindy. So it's my understanding that what's your choice then if you were to address the assembly? Would you want this to be on the ballot in October for the public to vote on?
Yes, absolutely. An opt-out initiative. That still would allow, to my knowledge, I reread, the individuals can still grow their own and have in their own possession. I believe a person in their own home, if it's not against the law or unsafe, it should be an American right. And through this initiative, they have said absolutely people can smoke and possess in their own home. And I think that's good. I wish marijuana didn't exist, but it does, and people have been using it for a long, long time.
So. All right. Thank you, Cindy,
for your
testimony. And maybe to make it clear, when you come up and testify, if you would just say if you're in favor of it on the ballot or not, and then for keeping a tally, it's easier that way than try to come up with their own idea on what you're trying to do. All right.
So my name's Gary Morgan, and I've applied for a license for marijuana cultivation on the island. I want to kind of address a couple things that the last speaker just spoke about. One, there's a lot of people that can't grow their own, that are come down with cancer, have all kinds of reasons why they can't. It's not an easy plant necessarily to grow correctly. One thing that legalizing will do is it will allow a very regulated grow operation where there's no pesticides, there's no mold, there's nothing that can actually hurt you. Marijuana, you cannot die from it. You cannot physically smoke too much. There's been studies. It's not addictive. I'm a cigarette smoker, and I can tell you right now what addiction is. I try and quit every day. So marijuana is not the evil drug we put out to be. There's been approximately, 80 years, 90 years, that there's been a campaign to rid this drug from the public consuming it. And it's really, you know, I haven't smoked much in my life. Most of my the times I've smoked it was when I was young. And I didn't like it. And it was just too strong for me. I didn't like the effects. But I also see my dad had cancer. He had a terrible time trying to get it when he had cancer. And it's not just for recreational use either. I think it's important that it's available. A safe product is available. And really what we're talking about here, we're talking about legalizing the sale to keep it out of minors' hands. Selling it to, you know, you can only be 21 to get it. If it's passed down from someone who bought it, that's illegal to someone to a minor. That's still a criminal offense. All we're talking about here is taxing it, regulating it, and doing it in a safe way, and being able to test it to make sure it's you know, safe for consumption. I know there's a lot of concern about the smoking in public or having a place to smoke on site. I've talked to Sue, who's working on the retail establishment in town. That's not a big priority for her. She would much rather just have a place where people can come and buy it. But I think we also have to think about the fact that there are some people who don't want to smoke at home, maybe have kids. There are visitors here in town. We do have some tourism. And no, you can't take it on a boat legally. But if you have small amounts, the way it works is you can only have a gram at a time if you're smoking on site. So, you know, there's a lot of limitations and regulations to this. I don't think it's a bad thing to go forward with this. So I'm definitely not for the opt-out. And one last thing. I've already spent quite a bit of my personal money starting this business. It's just really frustrating at this point, at this late hour, that we're discussing an opt-out financially. I'm an entrepreneur. This is something I think is a good plant. If it was discovered today, this plant, I think it would be, you know, touted as a miracle drug. But that's just my opinion. So,
all right. Thanks, Gary. Who wants to speak next? Sue, are you next in line on this side of the room?
My name is Suzanne Wood, and I'm representing myself here today. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members, for this opportunity to present my views. With reference, I'm not for opting out.
Thank you.
With reference to Assembly Member Wohuter's list of questions, including under consumption, one, should the Petersburg Borough opt out of recreational sales of marijuana, yes or no, consider this rephrasing. Should the Petersburg Borough opt for continuation of status quo sales of drug cartel and or black market supplied recreational sales of marijuana into our community? Also under consumption on Assembly Member Wohuter's list of questions, number two, should the Petersburg Borough allow the sales of medicinal marijuana, including sales, tinctures, sales, and concentrates into the downtown business district, yes or no? Consider this scenario. Imagine your personal need for medicinal marijuana oils and having to conceal such substances in vials in your wife's purse, evading detection by TSA screeners at the Seattle airport en route to Petersburg. Instead, doesn't it make more sense to avoid federal transportation oversight and be able to purchase legal marijuana in a state-licensed business that conforms with state law that is located directly across Nordic Drive from another state-licensed business with legal alcohol sales? And I again highly recommend the book Chasing the Dream by Johann Hari, detailing facts on America's war on drugs, its creation, and why it's failing despite continued billions of dollars of U.S. Taxpayer funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Okay, who would be next to speak? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
My name is Connor Kennedy, and I represent myself, and I am not in favor of the legalizing of commercial sales here in Petersburg. I have been smoking pot for 5 years, and it's probably the worst thing I've ever done for myself. I came up here to Petersburg to sober up, and this is honestly one of the best places I've been able to achieve that. It is a wholesome community. It is a good community with good values, and I remember smoking a lot before and after it became legal down in Seattle, where I'm from, and the entire city changed after it was legal, after people started selling it. For one, it was so much easier for me as a student to get it. I would buy an ounce from my buddies in school probably every week, every 2 weeks, and as one of the people said that it's illegal for minors to get, that's never stopped anyone I know from getting it. I mean, and I know here, yeah, it's illegal for minors to get it, but they're still getting it. And I mean, if people want drugs, they're gonna get drugs. And one thing I'm afraid of is that if we open up pot stores here in town, that it's the products that come in along with those pot stores, it's not just bud that they'd be selling, but it'd be those oils and those tinctures too. And I'd say one joint would probably have 12, 20% THC when those oils have, I want to say, anywhere from 75 to 90%. It's pretty much the equivalent to whiskey compared to beer. And I mean, I know how much easier it was for me to get once it became legal down in Washington. I mean, I had many 21-year-old friends who would just go out and get it for me. You know, all I had to do was pay them. And it wrecked me in school. It just totally got rid of all ambition I had to move forward. It just completely, you know, just pretty much shut me off mentally. And I think it's a bad idea bringing it here to a town that's so great. And just, you know, that's one thing I loved is how positive this town is and how, you know, how good it was for me to stay sober and not be constantly reminded of what it was that I was moving away from down in Washington, down in Seattle. When it became legal and stores started selling it, and more stores started selling paraphernalia surrounding it, it's just like all these people just started coming out of the cracks. Suddenly, you know, we see people smoking on the side of the road, and we see just, you know, people high who can't even function, really, just every day. And people say it's not addictive. Well, food is addictive and TV is addictive. I don't believe that this drug itself is not addictive. I mean, I'm physical evidence that that drug is very addictive. And it is, in fact, a gateway drug, although some people say that it's not. I believe that it does open up to a drug culture, and that is what opens up to other things. You know, I smoked pot before I started drinking alcohol, but after that, it led to more and more things. And, you know, coming up here, I just loved how clean the environment was. I mean, yeah, I've seen hard evidence that There are teenagers who are still drinking. There are teenagers who are smoking pot. And, I mean, it kind of hurts my heart to see that just because I've been in that situation, and it's pushed me to a point where, shoot, I almost lost my will to live, really, just because I thought I was happy, and I really wasn't, and I was so ridiculously depressed, just constantly smoking pot, that it became an addiction. It got to a point where I'd have to...
Can you wrap it up, please, Connor? It's been 5 minutes. We're trying to restrict it to three. I hate to cut anybody off, but we have a lot of people here to speak.
I just know that I couldn't function without smoking that, and I think it would be quite a mistake to make it more accessible here in Petersburg.
Thank you for your testimony. Okay, who's next to speak?
No, I wasn't smoking when this happened.
I'm Marita Davis, and I am representing myself and the generations after of my family. I am for putting this on the ballot, and that's what I am addressing. And the Smoke-Free Air Act in our community, how was it decided? It was decided by vote. It was decided by the people. And it should not just be something that is amended or taken or thrown out and tossed by an assembly, executive action. We see a lot of executive action lately. And it should be listened to the voice of the people. Just put it on the ballot. Let us decide. Thank you.
Thank you, Marita.
Sorry, I cut from the other side of the room, but I have to go to work soon.
That's fine.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Tremblay. I'm representing myself. I grew up in Petersburg, graduated class of 06, and I moved home in 2013. I'm excited to be in my hometown talking about our future and the new industries that could come from legal marijuana. So thank you for all your work on this issue. I know it's been a lot of time and maybe a few headaches. The state of Alaska had the third highest voter turnout in the nation in 2014. So yeah, it was lower than in the presidential year, and maybe some of the people in this community forgot to vote, and so they feel like they didn't have their say on that issue. But right now, pot is legal in the state, and 58% of those who showed up in Petersburg agreed that we should legalize it. Only 440 people voted for the state for the city smoking ban. So if we're going by low voter count, then there shouldn't be a smoking ban. We have elections, they happen, and then we deal with the consequences. So right now the question is, how do we regulate it? Which I don't think is what should be on the ballot. That's what committee meetings, zoning meetings, all of these meetings over the last year have been for. I feel like we're having the discussions. This is great. Again, thank you so much for all of your time on this issue, because again, there have been meetings, there have been planning and zoning, there's public health, you know, we have the places where we can be making this policy happen. And I feel like Petersburg already had the vote. So I feel like saving time and money, keeping it off the ballot would be good. I'm in favor of allowing retail businesses to sell marijuana in business districts, not allowing retail sales, allow the underground market to continue to flourish. People have mentioned the nightmare scenarios of down south, and I've been to a dispensary in Washington, and I saw an ID-requiring business in an appropriately zoned space, selling a product with regulated strength and packaging, screened for safety, and sold by professionals. The reason marijuana has earned the reputation as a gateway drug is because you typically have to go to the underground to get it, leading you to come into more contact with other items on the black market. Let's bring more people out of the shadows and find a way to keep everyone in our community safe. There is an opportunity for increased tourism and business with this kind of product, and I'm intrigued to see what entrepreneurs in town are going to keep it going. So for me, the questions about smoking inside, balance can be found between employee safety and allowing people a safe place to consume what is now a legal product in the state of Alaska. But again, this is an issue for planning and zoning, or public safety, or the pot committee, not really for right now, not in this detail on the ballot. Lots of people are talking about drug use and addiction in this community, which is great. We need more resources and support for people seeking help, and we have a lot of them already in this community. And we also need a lot of compassion for the people that are struggling and are fighting this battle every day. But people looking to get high will do anything. Aerosol cans, paint thinner, mouthwash, stealing prescription medication, you name it. Ask our police force and medical professionals. If there's a way to get high in this town, people have found it. And they've probably seen the evidence of it. That, however, is a different discussion than what we're trying to have right now. We're not in the age of reefer madness. More people are seeing marijuana for what it is, a relatively safe product that allows some people to have fun, helps some people in their health struggles, sometimes just makes folks dizzy or gives them a headache, and actually has been the most dangerous when it's been used as a way to send people to prison and ruin their lives. So let's focus on how we can bring an industry out of the shadows in appropriate venues like zoning committee meetings and not in frivolous actions like ballots. Thank you.
Thank you, Chelsea. Okay, who's next? If we need to jump back on the... It doesn't matter as long as everybody gets to speak.
My name's Rick Fish. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and a few of my neighbors down on the harbor. I live aboard my boat. I've been here for slightly over 4 years. Unfortunately, I wasn't born here, but I did have the good sense to choose to come here. On the ballot, it's a little unclear, I think, to most of us in town what precisely is going to be on the ballot. The initiative that was passed with a great deal of out-of-state support and money to support the issue was to legalize marijuana and then lay out many options. Each community could do what they wanted to do and set it up the way they wanted to set it up. We're quite happy accepting a dry village in the north. There's nothing wrong with that. We respect the culture of that community. This community also has a culture that I think needs to be respected. It's a sober, most of the time, community. And it's had a drug problem. I mean, Tent City, I've heard stories about that. End of the road issues, things like that. People come up here to do their thing. And we've worked it out. Drugs have been an issue with people for years. My family's had their problems, and I've had to live with it. My father died of cirrhosis right in front of me. But the initiative gave the options for the community to make decisions, and this is what we're trying to do now. But people could have voted for the initiative for all kinds of reasons, to avoid criminalization of a simple possession, or to look forward to having retail and open sales in an open community that is accepting of the marijuana culture. And that's the biggest issue we're trying to face right now, is if we're going to accept and endorse and embrace those people who are using this particular drug. We've got perfectly good sales for liquor and other things. We have parties. With liquor on the street, that's not a problem. Are we going to have a marijuana den next to Keto's or next to the marijuana thing outside during Mayfest? Is this the kind of community that we want to be known as a marijuana retailing community? I have a quick question about the amending of the smoking ordinance. Previously, did we have an open package law? I mean, I thought it was inappropriate and illegal to have an open bottle of liquor on the street. Now, nothing in here that I read is going to prohibit smoking marijuana on the street. Is it in here? I didn't read it. I just read the...
In the state law.
So the state law to... Okay, so how does the state law deal with smoking marijuana on the street?
Cannot.
That's fine. So then we're going to have that. Okay, that was one of the issues. But I think the community... Polling the community with a ballot. I mean, you're doing it right here on the docks. Do we want this dock? Do we want that dock? What do we want to do? I mean, none of us are clairvoyant. You can't tell what I'm thinking unless I come and tell you. All we're simply asking is to be asked what we want to do, whether we want to have it downtown, whether we want to have the meat retail thing limited at the ferry dock, we want to have it at Pappy's Landing, or you want to have it at Green's Camp. Most of us who are objecting to what this appears to be a wide-open situation would prefer a little more constraint. I mean, we're not going to put it near the school. Well, how far? The state came up with a number, and we bought into that, but we have the option of setting our own limits. So let us do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
I'm Barbara Fish, representing myself and friends I've talked to, and the wife of the previous speaker. My main concern is with having a smoking environment downtown. I don't, if it's legal and that's fine, but do we have to have a smoking room right in downtown Petersburg? And I have been walking along the streets and behind people who smoke, and I can't even imagine what it would be like to smell somebody who comes out of that room. And somebody has to work in that environment, which is one of the reasons that smoke-free environments and workplaces have been put in, so the workers don't have to worry about secondhand smoke. I just have written down a few things as people have been talking, and I don't know enough about the opt-out to give you an answer whether I would want that on the ballot or not, but I am definitely against having any kind of smoking room legalized. And if you legalize pot smoking, why can't you smoke a cigarette or a cigar in that same environment? And I read a book called Weed the People, written by a gentleman in Seattle when they were, and I don't remember his name, but he was against legalizing it. Then he decided to vote for it. And the one thing that he mentioned in the book was he has teenage kids, and he said, please do not start smoking until you're out of your teenage years, because studies have been done that it does affect the brain of younger people. So that's my comment.
Okay, thanks, Barb. So your opinion is to put it on the ballot or not put it on the ballot? You didn't. Sounds like you didn't.
Well, I don't know what's going to be on the ballot. Until I'm confused as to what actually is going to be on the ballot. I think having it legalized is fine, but having a smoking room, I would be completely against.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you. Who's next in line?
My name is Ross Nan III. I represent myself. I hear everybody talking all kinds of scare tactics and stuff. You know, the only reason marijuana was banned and illegal in the first place was because in 1933, when alcohol was made legal, the head of the Department of Alcohol Prohibition wanted to keep his job. So, against all medical advice telling him there was nothing wrong with marijuana, there was nothing bad about it, he convinced the U.S. government and governments around the world to ban it so he could keep his job. That's the only reason marijuana was made illegal. I'd like to address the gateway drug. The gateway drug is alcohol. They just did a study in Florida of underage students. 75% of them drank alcohol, while 42% smoked pot. Now, how does that compare to be the gateway drug? It's not. Alcohol is the gateway drug. Secondhand smoke? We've all seen the commercial. Cigarette smoke has 7,000 chemicals in it. Marijuana doesn't have anywhere near that number. So, I speak in favor of any business that we would have here, you know, that would be legal, that would be regulated, and I feel it's a waste of time to put it on the ballot.
Thank you, Ross, for your testimony. Whoever else would like to speak, just please come forward and State your name and who you represent.
My name is Dr. James Baker. I represent myself. I'd like to thank you for letting the public talk today. I would like to quote the chief administrative judge of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency of the United States of America, the Honorable Francis L. Young, and I quote, "Cannabis in its natural form is the safest therapeutic active substance known to man." Now, in pursuit of my doctorate, I did my master's thesis on the second toxicity effect of marijuana on the human body. And I couldn't agree more with Francis Young's statement of fact. And simplified, it can't be disputed. I believe there's no one in the listening range or in this room that has more credentials behind their name to dispute this fact. Okay? There seems to be some paranoia in town, primarily based on the past laws or the once illegal status of marijuana, and it's now legal. I think to try to prohibit a legal product makes you a prohibitionist, which I, as a veteran, have zero tolerance for. Anyone who loves liberty must oppose those who try to prohibit it. So I vote no for putting on the ballot to answer that question. Okay. Taxation. In my opinion, the borough, at the very least, should consider taxing the dispensary and the growers $25 an ounce. I believe that would at least potentially save one borough job and might create another, maybe more. Gateway drug. Ooh. I find it quite fascinating that the preferred treatment for methamphetamine and heroin addiction is marijuana oil extract, same as was used in 1900 to treat opium and morphine addiction. And for those young kids that totally bypass the marijuana gateway and go straight to Oxycontin, well, marijuana will help you too. Okay? Opt out. Why? Why? You don't like it? Well, don't use it. Please. You know, I don't like cream corn. I don't use it. And it's legal too. Okay? Smoking in the dispensary. Well, I have seen plexiglass rooms with carbon filters in a dispensary in Vancouver, British Columbia. And there was no outside smell. If there was music and dancing here, well, it might be a good night's entertainment. And other than that, I probably wouldn't go. So, in closing, I would like to share with the public one of the main therapeutic properties of marijuana. It relaxes the bowels. Recently, over the last year, I have met some moderately to severely constipated Petersburg citizens who would greatly benefit, both in body and in mind. Helps to relieve stinking thinking and will leave you feeling fresh as a daisy. Thank you.
Thanks, you, James. Whoever wants to come and speak next, just as long as everybody gets their turn.
I just got in from a long land trip, so I haven't been here I'm not sure what everybody said. I appreciate. My name's Rick Williams. I represent myself and my wife, Jill. And I would have to say we are both adamantly opposed to commercial sales of marijuana products, especially in the city of Petersburg. We have our grandchildren that we're concerned about walking up and down the streets. I really don't want them smell. I smoked pot when I was young. I caught a little bit of what a young man was saying. I had kind of the same feeling when I was young. I mean, you can have the science or whatever says it doesn't harm you, but real world observation doesn't prove that out. Anyway, I just want to say that I'm in opposition of commercial sales of Petersburg in Petersburg.
Yeah, so you'd be in favor of putting it on the ballot, Rick? That's one.
I guess, yeah, I'm not sure. I've been out of town. I just heard it on the radio. I just wanted to come in and let I'm really concerned about my grandchildren, and I don't want medical marijuana. I have no problem with you get a prescription. I mean, that's another issue. It's not the same as recreational use. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Rick, for your testimony. Anybody else like to speak on this public hearing for the marijuana ordinance?
Yes, my name is Robert Lopez. Most of the community knows me as Doc. I've lived here for 26 years. 22 of them I was with law enforcement. And like the gentleman previously, I'm also a veteran of Vietnam. I've seen a lot of things happen over my lifetime. I've seen the influence of alcohol and drugs of assorted kinds. I've seen people at their lowest in conditions that were very compromising. That's not the issue. What I want to bring before this body is the fact that I didn't know anything about an opt-out option. I wasn't informed. I didn't know that it was a possibility. Everybody was saying, well, it's legal now, so we're going to go through this process. I felt like I had been deceived, that as a member of the public, this was unknown to me. Had this been part of the whole process in its inception, I'd have been more receptive to what might have come about. I believe it should be on the ballot that Petersburg should decide whether they want the business here or not. If those who want it here feel threatened by this, it's unfortunate, because as the public and the right to decide to vote on these issues in our community, if you take that away from us, then you're limiting our ability to be able to govern ourselves. You work at our behest. You make the best decisions you can, and you've made very good decisions. I would like this option to be on the ballot, that we may decide whether or not we have it or not, and it will end the controversy. And if it's opposed, then it won't be in this community. And if the community votes to have it, then great. Then you can talk about how you're going to implement it. And there can be a lot of input as to what should or should not be in that process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Doc.
My name is Elizabeth Pollock, and I thank you for allowing us to speak before you. I am for having the opt-out initiative on the ballot. I sent an email to the council last night, and I just want to quickly read that. Tonight, June 6, 2016. I'm sorry. Tonight, June 6, 2016, on the show 60 Minutes, Michael Botticelli, the director of our National Drug Control Policy, was interviewed and listed his serious concerns about the use of marijuana. Marijuana use is linked to poor academic performance. 1 in 9 marijuana users become addicted to the drug. Marijuana use is linked to the lowering of one's IQ. Marijuana use exacerbates mental health issues. Michael Botticelli is concerned that the legalization of marijuana will lead to a decrease in the perception of the serious health dangers linked to marijuana, and to lead to a dependency of states on the tax revenues derived from the sale of marijuana. Our nation has spent millions trying to get people to stop smoking tobacco because of serious health risks, and now we will allow the legal sale and use of marijuana. I wish so much that marijuana in Alaska had never been legalized in the first place. Because of the failure of voters to vote otherwise, we are now stuck. But if Petersburg still has a chance to say no by opting out of the commercial sale of marijuana, I beg the City Council to give us this opportunity for the sake of our children, parents of teenagers, school officials, medical caregivers, police officers, and so many others. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Hello, my name is Nicole McMurrin, Petersburg citizen. I think that folks are having this conversation is great. My concern is that I think putting, I feel as if the conversation is not comprehensive enough. Perhaps we're premature in looking at putting a specific marijuana-based further discussion on a ballot or on a poll. All of the issues that I hear people bringing up as the community has these conversations are very interrelated. What's a gateway drug? What's legal? What's illegal? What actually creates costs in our community right now? It was fascinating to me when we were looking at how we might look to increase taxes in our community. We better not put alcohol on that tax increase because we love our alcohol. We like our pain relievers. We like to get altered as a human species. This is what we do. And we see negative ramifications from each of these various aspects of altered substance abuse. So now that marijuana has come to the forefront as a state, we have legalized it, it's spurring on a great conversation. But I think just to drill down on that one notion is perhaps not enough. I think we need to look and have conversations as a community. How do we want to manage these things? How do we want, you know, Petersburg is a great place where we've got kids at every event. And we got booze at every event too. So as a child, what does that say? When I'm an adult, I get to go to an event where there's alcohol and I too can get altered. So these behaviors that we have, we need to look at very differently. So I would encourage us to perhaps push off. I understand that the Assembly is interested in next steps specifically for a ballot. Maybe it's premature. And maybe it's time to have a more robust conversation around alcohol, drugs, just the way we want our community to be, and how healthy or unhealthy are we in our daily practices. Thanks for the time in creating the environment.
Thank you, Nicole.
Hi there. Bill Tremblay, retired.
I'd like to say that, right? It's only been a month, so it feels good just to keep saying that. I'm representing myself. When I was going back and forth to Juneau on the ferry, I had a conversation with somebody at our terminal one time. You know, they reduced the alcohol. They got rid of the alcohol sales on the ferry, and I'd mentioned that it's too bad they did that. And the response was, well, now they're legalizing weed, then we got a bigger problem. And I looked right at him, and I said, you know, I've been traveling on the ferries for more than 35 years, and there's always been weed on the ferry. There really has been. And it, even after I got here in the 80s, it was probably there too. We've had this commodity in this community and other communities for years, decades, like I said, lurking in the shadows, but always available to everyone, including the kids. I think it's an opportunity, that we have to begin to regulate this. Regulate the sale, regulate the growing of this. I mean, we live on an island. Technically, this can't be transported in any federal way. The state prohibits it, the federal government prohibits it, so if it's legal, it's being used, all you're doing is promoting the black market use if you don't regulate this yourself. Now, knowing that it's always been here, why isn't it a bigger issue than it is? A lot of it has to do with the fact that many of us who are employed would be fired if we're found under the influence or using it. Think about the regulations that you have in your fishing boats. What happens if you get caught with illegal drugs on board? There's some big ramifications. In the federal government, if you're using a firearms to go out in the field, you're randomly tested. If you get tested as positive, you're fired. I'm sure the state has its own regulations. We have, I'm sure if you ask most businesses in town, they have their own drug and alcohol policies for their employees. A lot of it has to do with peer pressure, opportunity, and enforcement. And it's not just us having to enforce it, it's each of us having to enforce it in any way possible. The discussions of having a, I would also like to allude to the fact that I did provide comments earlier to the council, and if you're going to be considering all the comments to bring those back up, I raised issues about having a place to smoke downtown. The example of what might be happening in Vancouver is my concept of what was going to be happening is basically you would have a closed-in cubicle that was ventilated for yourself to consume it, and that's it. We're not talking about throwing a big bag of Cheetos out in the middle of the floor and just people just having a great time. No. There are places where they set up for personal consumption, your consumption. Because there's so many different varieties, different people want different types of marijuana. So it's not just one plant. Kids are still getting it in this town. It's unfortunate, you know, as much as we talk about kids having opportunities for that, you know, I hear also about different parents, you know, having people in there supervising their alcohol consumption with their friends in town. I mean, that's gateway stuff here that we're talking about in this town, beyond marijuana. So as far as putting this on the ballot, no, I think we're past that. I think it's probably better spent time to send it back to Planning Commission to talk about more of the details than it is to bring it up in any referendum at this time. It would be, you know, while we talk about the amount of people that, the number of people and the percentage of people that voted up here, I'm noting we had like 45% or more in this town that voted during that election. You know, I was just living in Juneau, and Juneau hopes at time that they get 20% of their electorate to show up. And they passed it, too, and they're moving forward. Anything that you're keeping on tally here, it does not represent this. Well, it might represent people in the room. It does not represent the community, so I would not suggest using that in any statistical way to say move this forward and move this against. The people have voted. It's time to move it forward and do it productively. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody else care to testify?
My name is Wes Abbott. I'm a longtime Petersburg resident. I represent myself, and I think it should be on the ballot. I'm not against anybody smoking pot if they want to, but I just don't think we need pot stores and smoke shops and stuff downtown. I think that we should have the opportunity to opt out on this, and I believe it is a gateway drug. So I would encourage you to put it on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes. Anybody else care to testify under this public hearing for the marijuana ordinance? Harvey?
I'm Harvey Gilliland, and I'm representing myself. And it seems like I'm ahead of time here instead of testifying on views related to the agenda, because you have this voting issue later on in the meeting. But anyway, a lot of people talked about it, so I'll take my turn here. First of all, perhaps because I didn't pay well enough attention, I didn't know until it was recently brought up that the state ballot measure provided for local communities to have the right, and I think even the duty, to decide for themselves on how to deal with marijuana sales. And I don't think we should be denied the opportunity to decide with a vote by the people of the town. And so, between now and October, if that's when the issue was on the ballot, then there'd be a lot of time for all of us to learn a lot more about the issue. I've learned a lot lately talking to people and thinking about it, going to the internet. I've been reminded that marijuana, like alcohol, can easily cause impairment to a driver of a motor vehicle that could be hazardous to themselves or other people or property. I have learned from others that does lead to stronger drugs. People use it as an antidepressant like people do with alcohol. Like my father was an alcoholic, and when things get hard, person gets down in the dumps, are more apt to go do away with their problems, you know, get numb with liquor. And I think maybe people do that with marijuana, too. And they use it as a painkiller. And there's this famous singer that I never heard of in my whole life before that died recently. And the news has it that he died of a overdose, a real strong painkiller. Evidently, he was using that because what he had been taking in the past had become less and less effective. And, so it seems like the cycle just goes on and on. People get hooked on it, and they need something stronger all the time. So, and again, I think if you allowed it to be put on a ballot in October, we have a lot of opportunity between now and then to hear a lot more about these issues and be able to vote more intelligently than perhaps we did for that state ballot. And so I just think there could be real danger lurking, and we need to know about it and be prepared for it. And so I think you should decide to put the issue on the ballot for the townspeople. Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey, for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to testify under the public hearing on the